We shall begin. King Sennacherib of Assyria was a very proud man. We've heard about him in 2 Chronicles and 2 Kings and the book of Isaiah. But there's also a record about him in the Assyrian records or archives. And this is what he had to say about his campaign against Hezekiah and Jerusalem. He said, "As for Hezekiah the Jew who did not submit to my yoke, 46 of his cities I took, 200,150 people I brought away, and himself like a caged bird I shut up in Jerusalem, his royal city." And that's as much as he says. And what he says is true, but he leaves out the rest of the story. The rest of the story is that his army never took Jerusalem, but his army was demolished, and he went back to Nineveh in utter disgrace. So King Hezekiah was like a caged bird in Jerusalem, but he had the Lord God on his side, and God had promised him through the prophet Isaiah, "Thus says the Lord, do not be afraid of the words which you have heard, with which the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Surely I will send a spirit upon him, and he shall hear a rumor and return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land." Well, Sennacherib did hear a rumor. The rumor was that the Ethiopians were coming to attack him. And so he withdrew from Jerusalem for a while, but he did not give up at once. He sent letters to Hezekiah. These letters, at least a portion of a letter, is recorded in 2 Chronicles 32. He also wrote letters to revile the Lord God of Israel and to speak against him, saying, "As the gods of the nations of other lands have not delivered their people from my hand, so the God of Hezekiah will not deliver his people from my hand." Hezekiah took one of these letters and took it to the temple to set it before the Lord. And he prayed, "O Lord our God, I pray, save us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you are the Lord God, you alone." And God answered that prayer almost at once, sending another message to Hezekiah through the prophet Isaiah. And this one was directed against Sennacherib in these words, "I know your rage against me, because your rage against me and your tumult have come up to my ears. Therefore I will put my hook in your nose and my bridle in your lips, and I will turn you back by the way which you came." You see, God has power over kings. He can do with them as he wishes. "Thus says the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, he shall not come into this city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with shield, nor build a siege mound against it. By the way that he came, by the same shall he return, and he shall not come into this city, says the Lord. For I will defend this city to save it for my own sake and for my servant David's sake." This was the kind of language that Hezekiah and his people needed to hear to give them comfort and to give them assurance that even though they were trapped in Jerusalem like a caged bird, that was no problem for the Lord God. Now, the other gods of the nations, so-called gods, had not delivered their peoples from Sennacherib, but that's understandable since they weren't really gods at all. But the Lord God of Hezekiah was the one and only true God, not made up, not man-made, but the real God who created heaven and earth. And now we hear what happened. 2 Chronicles chapter 32. King Hezekiah and the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amoz, prayed and cried out to heaven. Then the Lord sent an angel who cut down every mighty man of valor, leader, and captain in the camp of the king of Assyria. So he returned shamefaced to his own land. And when he had gone into the temple of his God, some of his own offspring struck him down with the sword there. Thus the Lord saved Hezekiah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem from the hand of Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, and from the hand of all others, and guided them on every side. God kept his promise as he always does. Now we have further details in 2 Kings. It came to pass on a certain night that the angel of the Lord went out and killed in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when people arose early in the morning, there were the corpses, all dead. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went away, returned home, and remained at Nineveh. So the braggart, the proud king, was brought down, and he remained at Nineveh. He didn't go venturing out anymore on raids against Hezekiah or any other king of Judah. And it came to pass, as he was worshiping in the temple of Nisroch, his god, that his sons Adrammelech and Sharezer struck him down with the sword, killed by his own sons. Now, of course, the Assyrian records do not tell us any of this. It was the custom of kings in those days to record only their victories, not their defeats. But we have the Bible, the Word of God, so we know the full story. Now we're in the time of Advent, when we think of the coming of another king, King Jesus. He rode into Jerusalem, not like Sennacherib, in pride, but in humility, riding on a donkey. And the kind of victory he won in Jerusalem was not a victory through a mighty army or through proud words. But this Jesus, born in Bethlehem, went on to defeat Satan, the greatest enemy, by suffering and dying on the cross and taking away his power. We read in the letter to the Hebrews, he, that is Jesus, himself shared in flesh and blood. That's why he was born, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil. And we are still enjoying the result of that victory today and will always. We sing hymn in the Lutheran hymnal number 58, stanzas 8 and 9.
Jerusalem.